Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of The Skinny on Beauty, the only place where beauty and art collide. With your host, the host with the most. I don't know if she's got the most skinny or the most beauty here, but Cheryl Holly here with her beautiful guest this afternoon here.
Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Skinny on Beauty, brought to you by Unite Socially. Today, we're going to be talking about tricks to get subscribers to your YouTube channel. Yes, I got all of your DMs about YouTube and how to get some more traction, and so I brought on an expert today. Amanda Bucci is here with us.
Hi, everyone.
And so today, we're going to be talking about a lot of your questions will be answered. I know also I put out a Facebook post, and some of you had some questions about YouTube art and what is the best place for videos if it's on YouTube or Instagram. We're going to be talking about how to gain more traction to your YouTube channel as well. So all those questions will be answered today. I'm your host, Cheryl Holly, digital marketing expert for beauty, fashion, and health brands, consultant, social media influencer, and educator. You can follow my company, Unite Socially, for more information on how to grow your brand on the digital space, or you can follow Skinny on Beauty on social media to connect with more entrepreneurs in your target market. Today, with Amanda Bucci and I, we're going to be, again, talking about your subscriber list, and then also my favorite part, since I talk about social media all the time. My favorite part is going to be talking about macros and some of the fat burning, how to get into your fat burning zone and some of the fitness tips that she has for us. Amanda Bucci is a 24-year-old CEO of an online education company for aspiring fitness influencers, coaches, and entrepreneurs. The host of her own podcast, Bucci Radio. Her mission is to ignite the fire of others to generate growth with their fitness life, business life, and personal life. I'm so excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for driving down from LA.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I actually didn't have to drive because I got a flat tire, so I took a Lyft instead. It was relaxing.
Right? Which is the best
part.
LA. Yeah, not having to drive in LA and Orange County traffic is definitely key.
It wasn't the worst. Yeah. I gotta fix my flat tire, but
just to tell you guys a little bit about how Amanda and I got connected, I put out a post earlier on Facebook. It was a public post, and actually, she's one of my friends, Stephanie Telford. She's a shout out to Stephanie for connecting us. She's a blogger and editor at Home in High Heels, and I put out a post that, hey guys, let me know your favorite motivational speaker, and she had responded with you.
That's really nice. Thank you, Stephanie. Yeah. That's really nice.
Yeah, it is. And I know that you're in this transition of, you know, going into more personal development. And so I thought it was really cool that she had responded with you as well. And that's definitely the type of guests that I look for on the show are guests that, you know, if they're in transition or whatever goal that they're setting for themselves, they're actually meeting it, you know. Right. And so kudos to you
on
that.
Thank you.
So your background is very impressive. I actually really enjoyed, you know, looking over your content at Amanda Bucci, BUCCI.com, on everything that you have to offer. Lots of fitness freebies on there, you guys. Everything from like finding other online coaches like yourself, and just, you know, tips and tools to content creation, which we'll be talking about here later in the show. So, you know, your background, you know, you've competed in NPC Bikini. You're also into powerlifting and sponsored athlete with bodybuilding.com and Bite Meals and many more.
Uh-huh.
So tell us what it's like to be a sponsor for, you know, all these major brands and how you got into that.
Yeah, no, it's really, really cool. I'm really blessed to have the sponsorships that I do. When I first got started on Instagram, like that's where I got my start. It wasn't okay. On YouTube, it was on Instagram more. I honestly am just one of those people that likes to share stuff. And when I started my fitness journey, I felt this major sense of community on Instagram because there was people in my immediate network of friends and family that did work out, but they didn't fall in love with fitness as hardly or as drastically as I did at the time. And it's really hard to start connecting with people when you're so in love with something so drastically. And my body was changing and my mind was changing and I was learning so much stuff and I was immersing myself into the education side of it.
Right.
That it's hard to feel like you're a part of something when not everybody that you already know is like in it with you. Mm-hmm. So on Instagram, I found this like major amazing community of people that were also like starting their fitness journeys and doing competitions and learning the same things that I was. And I was like, this is amazing. So I just started sharing a ton on there. So I grew on Instagram first before I even started YouTube or knew what it was. And I got my first sponsorship on there by the company I've been with for two years now? It's probably 2 years now, 2.5 or so. PE Science, a supplement company I'm sponsored by.
Okay.
They're super awesome people. I got into it because I saw a couple of my other friends who were like on the up and coming on Instagram at the same time as me get sponsored by them. And I was like, I love their stuff. I love their products. I appreciate who they have on their team. And that's a big thing for me. Like what people are promoting their stuff, the way that they promote it, the way that they support the athletes or affiliates or ambassadors or whatever.
Yeah.
Super appreciate the way they did everything and continue to do that. So it's been really cool working with them over the last few years, along with the other companies that I've gotten involved in. And it's awesome. Yeah. It's like people don't really, they think kind of that's the first thing that they should focus on because that's something that like seems tangible now because companies are realizing influencer marketing is huge.
Yeah.
People who are on YouTube have a really strong influence on getting people to buy stuff because when you're putting your life out there so much, you become a friend to people that you don't even know.
Right.
And then whenever I meet somebody that is a follower of mine on my YouTube channel, my podcast, or Instagram, I feel like I've met a friend that I don't even know. So the influence for purchasers is like, if you were to tell me, like Cheryl's my friend now, and if you were to say my favorite restaurant in OC is this, I would go there over any other restaurant. It's kind of the same kind of influence.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. But I think that you said something really key there, and it's about really understanding that brand, right? Because I talked to, we are both connected with a lot of influencers, and sometimes, you know, with these brands, they just reach out to you and they're like, hey, will you promote our product? We'll give you free product for it. And maybe they'll even, you know, compensate you for that, you know, but some of these influencers that are just starting out, you know, and their channel isn't growing as fast as maybe yours was, you know, they're just signing up with different random brands, but they're not knowing the story behind the brand. And I think that's really important when you're branding yourself as a brand.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right. And so I love that you did that. And that's probably really contributed to a lot of your success. You know?
Yeah. I would say like when you're in communication with a brand, it's really easy to just take the first thing that comes to you because you're like scarcity. Yeah. Like this would help me grow because the brand might be bigger than you. So it's like number one, beneficial to help you grow because they have their own network that they would push you into, which has helped me grow a ton. Like being a part of those companies absolutely contributed to my growth over the last 2 years on YouTube and on Instagram. And it's really enticing. And then they're going to offer you free things or money, which is also really enticing because you're like, yay, this is working. I'm an influencer now. You know, it's working.
Yeah.
But if you don't really think through to the long term, and you don't know how being involved in that company is going to affect you in the long term. I'm guilty of not thinking of this when I first started, but now that I think back, I'm like, I'm really glad that I was able to have the opportunity to be with a brand that I like started loving and continue to love, because that's really kind of, it's hard to predict, but it's something that you should think about because you want to understand like everything you do and every decision you make and every person you partner with reflects back on you as a person.
It does. Yeah, it definitely does. And that's such a key element and really good tip for you guys. But you know, I want to go back just a tad in your lifespan and talk a little bit about how you got started on this fitness lifestyle journey. Because I know in high school, you played soccer and some lacrosse and you were really involved in that lifestyle already. But did you know back in high school, like this was your calling?
No.
Okay.
I had no idea. I didn't know what the word entrepreneur meant. I had no idea I would be a business owner. My family, my grandpa owns his own business, but my mom's a teacher. My dad's a lawyer. I wanted to go into nursing. I was in nursing school. I didn't know anything about building a business. Like I had never had any like, let me go to business school. It wasn't even on my radar, to be honest.
Right. Okay. So, but it was definitely your calling, if you will, you know, it was like meant to be. You can tell that you're very passionate about it, you know, and your nursing background definitely shows like the content that you provide and how you care about helping other entrepreneurs succeed, you know, and the personal development part of things, you know, so everything, you know, aligns
totally
in this life, you know, I mean, it really just works out. And so after college, you hired a fitness coach, right? And then that's when you started doing your competitions. And you're still with him today. It's William
Grazione.
Yeah. Okay,
perfect. I've been with him for three years now or so, three and a half, I think. And he's been amazing, yeah.
Awesome. And so does he help you create any of your content, or is that something that you do all on your own?
So content stuff I do on my own, but to be completely honest, I can't just say anything is all on my own. Like everything that I've learned from him, from other people, from other mentors, from other YouTube channels and stuff was where I gained my knowledge. Like I didn't just take one like fitness course. I'm not a certified personal trainer. Mm-hmm. I have my nursing degree, but everything that I've learned is from people who have had these experiences, like my coach. So I would always ask him questions when I was like learning, because I did do two competitions where I prepped myself and I was just kind of trialing and erroring type deal. And then I hired him, and he's so knowledgeable and he's so willing to give me and all of his clients like help, advice. And if I ever had a question as to why, he would answer it for me, and I'd be like, great, this is like helping me make content that's informative, I can kind of just learn from a mentor versus like a course or something. And that's what he did for me and still continues to do. And we're actually business partners now. So
awesome. Yeah. Okay. So in your online education company?
Yeah. Okay. So I have two. One of them is the Influencer Academy that I talked about, which is teaching people who want to become influencers or fitness coaches, people who want to kind of create an influence, build their message and become an online fitness coach so they can have a sustainable, viable business and leverage social media. But then there's also a certificate program that we created this year. Him and I were business partners on it, where it's the fitness and nutrition chunk of information that you need to learn in order to become an online fitness coach. So instead of a personal trainer certification, which teaches you how to coach somebody in person, it's teaching you how to coach somebody online, which is new, you know,
Career. And so a lot of, she has a lot of content, Amanda does, on her website, that like freebies, not only content creation stuff, like helping you with Instagram, and I'm sure you're going to come out with some other content creation stuff for YouTube.
Oh my God.
If you don't already.
All this stuff. Yeah. You're working on so much like helpful stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And you even have, okay, so this is the part that I love about the podcast, because I mean, macros, like what the heck is a macro? Like I had no idea. And I was, when I was doing my research, and I was like, oh, okay, the definition's here, but like what are macros and how do you track them and how does that work with like body goals?
Yeah, well, I mean, I first learned about macro tracking a couple years ago. Usually mainstream fitness will teach you that you have to kind of like eat less food or do some sort of keto or do some sort of like other fad diet to lose body fat.
Yeah.
When I learned about macros are essentially just nutrition. So you have calories, all food has calories in it. So like whatever, there's a sandwich that has 300 calories, but those calories are made up of macronutrients. So you have protein, carbs, and fat. Each sandwich, like maybe a Starbucks sandwich. My favorite sandwich at Starbucks is the reduced fat turkey bacon sandwich. It's 260 or 80 calories, I forget. And there's like 30 grams of carbs because of the English muffin, and there's like 6 grams of fat and 15 grams of protein, something like that.
You know,
like
she's an entrepreneur.
So long.
You know she's an entrepreneur when she has a favorite sandwich at Starbucks, because that's where we hang out, right?
Yeah. And then like choice minimalism, like you don't make that many decisions. You just like know your thing that you like. Essentially, it's just what is in the food that you're eating, right?
So,
Each person has an amount of calories that their body either maintains at, can lose body fat at, or gain body fat or gain muscle at. So whatever you eat normally that keeps you at the same weight that you just stay at is what your calorie maintenance is. Some people may have it lower. Some people may have it higher, dependent on your history with dieting, your history with training, your history with eating, the kind of foods that you eat, all that stuff. And it may be higher for some people. Maybe if you have like a genetically high metabolism, you've never dieted before, those kinds of things, like the way that you train, all of that stuff depends. Nice. So basically whatever your maintenance calories are, you'll have a certain amount of macronutrients that are like optimal for your body. So you'll have a certain amount of protein that is optimal for muscle building, that stimulates muscle protein synthesis, which builds muscle basically. And then a certain amount of carbs and fat, which is essentially either preference, or there's so many different diets that you can do any kind of diet and you're still doing macros because all food has macros in it. So you can be keto, which is high fat, moderate protein, low carb. That's macros. It's still macros, but it's just, there's so many.
So how do you get it tested?
You don't, so you don't test what your macros are. You figure out what your calories are.
What your body can handle for, like, based on your body goals. So if I wanted to lose weight,
Yeah. So what I would recommend for you, if you're like trying to figure out what those are,
yes,
I have it in my free ebook, but essentially what you do is you track your calories for a week or two.
Okay.
No adjustments. You wouldn't like eat less food than you're normally eating just because you're tracking it. You would do your normal day and just, you would kind of estimate your calories, okay, weigh out your food. You can use macro tracking apps. I use an app called Evolve that I just started using. It's really easy to use. You can even like voice tap on the app. It's like Siri, where you can say, I ate 300 calories, 40 carbs, 30 fat.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Which is really cool, really simple, really easy. And
technology.
You would essentially see what your body did.
Okay.
So if your body stayed the same, that's your maintenance calories.
Got it.
And then what you would do from there is if you're trying to lose body fat, you would eat between 200 to 500 less calories. So there's a whole science behind it.
I got it though.
It's super individual, but that's the basic idea.
Yeah. So like trial and error and testing and really like having the starting point and then testing from there. Right.
Yeah.
So, and that's what going back to marketing, I mean, that is exactly what you have to do with marketing.
It's true. Yeah.
You know, you have to test everything. And so if you really want the results that you're talking about, and there is a free ebook on this, it is a macro tracking ebook, right? On our website.
It tells you this whole like starting process basically.
So you can get started. You can even start with me, guys, because I'm definitely going to get started. I love what you said about like you have this certain diet, and then if you're staying at the same place, then you need to adjust. And it's like I've just been staying at the same place, and so you're right. It's like test it. So I love it.
Yeah. So you can get that at amandabucci.com/macros-free.
Awesome.
That's where
awesome.
That is.
And so, you guys, before we go on our break, we are going to go into the part, you know, talking about YouTube and answering all of your questions on that. I just want, you know, you to have an open mind with this, because with marketing, you know, there's so many different ways to get the same results. And you know, everybody has to start out at zero, you know, with subscribers, right? So everyone has to start out on subscribers or followers or whatever social media channel you are on. You know, you start at zero and then you work your way up there and you test things along the way. And so today, Amanda's just going to be sharing her experience, strength, and hope with us on, you know, what strategies have worked for her. And when this show turns into a podcast and it's on the site, I invite you to come back and let us know what works for you, what didn't work for you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear that.
Yeah. And any other questions that we might not answer on the show that you have, because, you know, both of us are here to help entrepreneurs and help you be successful. So, Paul, we're going to go on a break. And then when we get back, we'll be talking about how to gain more subscribers on your YouTube channel.
Just want to point out that Cheryl Hawley is a digital marketer, a professor, and a social influencer. She's the host of the show Skinny and Beauty and the founder of Unite Socially, a United States media agency centered in the heart of Orange County, right here where we're broadcasting from. Unite Socially specializes in social media and digital marketing and influencer management. Ooh, I don't know how you manage your influencers, but she does it somehow for the Beauty Wheelhouse. Launched in 2011, Unite Socially works with beauty, health, and fashion brands on an individual level to develop their digital strategies and unique online voice. With tremendous success on a franchise and individual level, Cheryl can help fine-tune your online message to speak directly to your target audience and increase brand awareness and equity. All of that and more, check it out at The Skinny on Beauty.
It's actually unitesocially.org and skinnyonbeauty.com. So, guys on Unite Socially, welcome to our live feed right here on the Skinny on Beauty, where we bring in digital marketing experts like Amanda herself, that have been very successful in the beauty wheelhouse. She is in fitness lifestyle and has helped or actually grown her channels herself through content creation and other avenues. As you heard us say earlier, She has 188,000 subscribers on YouTube, had her channel for about 3 years, and she uses her social media platforms to inspire and reach as many people as she can in hopes of igniting the passion in others that she has found for herself through fitness lifestyle. So you can do this a lot with YouTube, and I know that my fans and viewers and even some of yours that are watching right now are so excited to dive right into this and the marketing tips that we have for them today. So for somebody that might say somebody's just, you know, Paul was kind of touching on it earlier, any type of industry, but say somebody is wanting to be a fitness coach like yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And they have no idea really what YouTube is or like how to get started. Like, what would be your tip for starting a YouTube channel?
Honestly, I would say if you've never opened your YouTube channel and this is your first and you want to get your first like 1,000 subscribers or whatever.
Right.
Number one, I would say start with a strategy and start with like, what are your first 3 videos going to be? What are you going to title them? The thumbnails are important. The titles are super important.
Okay.
So first thing I tell my students to do is to make a transformation video story about yourself. Because if you're going to be a coach or if you're going to be a fitness expert, you have to show people how you've transformed yourself. And storytelling is so important, especially with YouTube, any kind of email marketing, any kind of storytelling that you can do. The biggest way you can connect to other people is through telling your story.
Right.
So making some sort of like, who are you? What are you all about? What can you expect from your channel? And here's how you transformed as your first video. And make it a big deal. Hype yourself up. Share it out to as many people as possible. Incentivize people to go post on it. Maybe do some sort of like giveaway or something for your first video just to get traction on your first video so you feel that momentum going.
Right.
And then post the next video next week.
Right.
So you can get people to be like, okay, she's consistent.
Right.
Consistency is super huge. People want to see that you're going to be a consistent show up on their feed versus like, oh, I guess she posts videos every once in a while.
Right.
They're kind of not really trusting in the fact that they're going to be able to commit to watching your videos all the time. The biggest thing to get that momentum rolling is people knowing that you're going to be posting often and people liking your stuff once you post it.
Right.
So if you kind of just post your first video and you're like, oh, I didn't get any views or subscribers. But the whole point is for people to start seeing them. And then when you are shown on their feed often, they can start being like, all right, I've seen this person a couple times. Like, they're showing up, you know, like they're there. Their titles are good. I'm enticed. And the titles and the thumbnails are so important because that's your only marketing. Right. When people are going through their feed and all they see, like, hopefully you get on the feed, number one, which is a whole other topic in and of itself, is to get on the feed, which is like what's trending, what are people clicking on, like what's interesting, which is my other recommendation for your next second and third video, is to make something that's on trend with your industry. So what's interesting to people right now? What's really helpful? What's really valuable? Yeah. How can you do it in a way that other people have done it, but in your own way that's, again, helpful and valuable in your own way? And how can you make yourself stand out in that topic?
Right.
So still being on trend in the topic, being completely and utterly yourself, because that's what's beautiful. And then being consistent and showing up in the right way.
Yeah. And so what I'm hearing a lot of is, you know, the titles are very important. Being authentic to yourself, because people are going to know if you're fake.
Yeah. Well, you can just like do things that are the same as everybody else. And people will be like, oh, you're just trying to do what that person's doing because they're good at it.
Right. Yeah. So
there's a small line.
There is a small line, but also being aware of what other people are doing, and that's where the on trend comes in, right? And that's that line that you're talking about. Yeah, but the titles are really important, and so I heard you say that in the thumbnails a lot. So are you saying that like that you should maybe create the title first and then the video after?
It depends on the kind of channel and video that you're making.
Okay.
I would say if you're doing some sort of video that... Yeah, it depends on your channel. Like when I first started, I did vlogs. So my vlogs were kind of just whatever the heck I wanted. And then I would make a title based on it.
Right.
I wasn't really aware of all this marketing stuff. But if you're going to make a video and you want it to be shown up in like your fitness niche or whatever beauty niche, what kind of videos are doing really well? And why? And then your title has to have those SEO words in them, like the searchable words, because again, you said it's a search engine.
Yeah.
It has to be searchable.
Right.
And the way that it's going to show up is if it's searchable, if it has those words in the title. I actually use a tool called vidIQ. And I know there's also a tool called TubeBuddy that will help you. It'll be like on the side of your screen when you're titling your video and using tags.
Okay.
But if you have your title that's searchable.
Paul's getting out his notes. Yeah. I love it.
Your title has to be searchable.
Us old men are trying to write this down slowly here. Sorry,
searchable title. in your description box, having similar words to your title is important.
Yeah.
And then tags.
Right.
Those are important. If you search podcasts on YouTube, what are the top videos? What are their titles?
Yeah.
And why are they, what words are they using? And then on TubeBuddy or vidIQ, you can see what tags other people have used.
I love that. I love that tip. Helpful. Yeah. So I haven't heard of those two apps. So that's great.
Yeah.
And it's VID.
vidIQ or TubeBuddy. Okay. I'm pretty sure they're really similar.
Got it.
And it'll also show you your SEO score and suggested tags and stuff. Yeah.
And that's really important because, again, it is a search engine. So your SEO should be part of your title.
Right.
Yeah. And so following that down. And then in the beginning of your video, make sure that you're, talking about the title,
that you're
leading into that. And so, in the beginning when, I know that your podcast does it as well, like when we're talking about ourselves and what we're going to be talking about on the podcast, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're doing it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Just so people know, like, we're talking about this. This is why. This is how it came about.
Yeah.
So people are like, okay. And then to keep people watching on YouTube is, so for YouTube, they pay you through AdSense, which means once your videos reach a certain threshold, they'll pay you based off of the amount of money that you make. I honestly don't make that much a month on YouTube. I make probably I do two videos a week now, and I make between $1,500 and $2,000 on YouTube, which is great. But it took me, honestly, if you're going to rely on that.
Is that per video or per month?
Per month.
That's
so
pretty cool.
I have 190,000 subscribers, and I do two videos a week. So if you're going to rely on that, it's not going to be a whole lot until you get to that point. So you can't rely on it. But it pays you based off of not just your views or your subscriber count, but how long people watch your videos. So if you're doing an info video, it's really helpful to do some sort of five tips. So they stayed watching the whole time because you have
don't
five
quit
of them.
After two tips.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Go
through the whole thing.
That kind of thing. But anything that keeps people watching continuously, and if you feel like you're editing it and there's a drop-off point, it's better to have it be really quick and on point podcast is super conversational and
super.
People will stay on because they're just they're driving or they just want to kind of just feel like they're in the room and it's a different medium.
Exactly.
Right. Or maybe because people don't ever sit down and have a conversation anymore.
Right.
So when a couple of the questions that were asked through DM were how do we utilize our blog platform and other social media platforms in order to drive traffic?
Good question. That's a really good question. So what I would do on a blog or an Instagram is do something that's a snippet of what you would expand upon in your YouTube video and then direct people to go watch it. So what I used to do is I do a little clip of a workout and then I would say the whole workout is explained on YouTube. Here's the link or a link in bio or whatever.
So kind of a call to action and to seek and discovery type of thing, right?
Yeah. Like it's there. And if you want to see it expanded upon, go to YouTube, go to the YouTube video.
Right.
But anything that can kind of entice them to be going to click on the video and going to watch it and would make them want to watch it, your blog or your Instagram caption should be directed to make them do that.
Right. Okay. Now on Instagram, do you always post a video if it's a video on YouTube or do you sometimes do still photos?
It depends. I do think that doing a snippet of the video to get people to watch the full video works a little better depending on what it is.
Yeah.
I won't necessarily always do that. My strategy could be better to get people to go there, you know.
Yeah.
What we prioritize, but sometimes I'll do a photo with a caption that says, this is what I talked about in my video.
Right.
Or sometimes I'll do an Instagram story, which I love Instagram stories. Probably my favorite little piece of any platform. But Instagram story, a little clip of the YouTube video with the swipe up or a link in bio type deal. Kind of just a short piece of content that will direct the bigger piece.
Right. And if you guys don't have the swipe up or know what she's talking about, it's you have to have over 10K followers on Instagram.
Apparently. I thought it was for everybody when they gave it to everybody, but I guess it's 10K.
No, it's not.
No.
Yeah, I know it's not, but you can still do it the old school way, link in bio. You know what I mean?
Fine.
And it's not, and I guess I shouldn't have said old school because it's not necessarily that old school.
You know, the things that we decide are old nowadays when new things come out. It's funny.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so going through these questions here. So what one strategy always works for you to boost subscriptions or video views?
That's a good question. I like to say that I like to keep my YouTube channel and my posts in integrity with who I am and what I kind of want to represent. But there is something to say for doing something kind of clickable, you know? So, it depends on what you're doing, but it's funny to even say this, but on Instagram, I try not to do the whole booty picture, like, you know, thing too often. I try not to do that too much because I like to be known for what I have to say versus what I look like. But yeah, every once in a while, it's not a terrible strategy to implement if it's like something that's clickable, searchable, you know, things that you know have worked really well for you in the past, and just continuously implement those, not necessarily like a booty picture or something, but if it's something in your industry that people do often that always gets video, like transformation pictures do well on Instagram, like I started here, I ended here type deal, kind of like things that have done well for other people in the past that you might be like, let me not do that too often, but it's not the worst idea to do them, just to kind of bring people in and entice them to come in, and then it'll allow them to be like, oh wow, you actually have a lot to say, you have really great content. Does that make
sense? Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense, and it goes back to really knowing your audience, right? And who and what works for your industry, you know, and capitalizing on that. Sometimes trends aren't always the best thing. Like, you have to find out what trend works with your messaging as well.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
It has to make sense.
Yeah, it has to make sense for you. So,
and you have to be clear on what you want your messaging to be.
Yes, exactly. I know. I've been through the hiccups of that.
Same.
One of the last questions here. Do you use ads to promote your channel?
I have never used an ad. I've used ads for my last program that I launched a few months ago, but I've never used...
But before the 188,000, you never used an ad. Mm-hmm. So actually, and I will tell you guys, how you actually grew that in the last 3 years. Like what type of...
Right,
what did your
boom.
Content... Yeah, the boom.
Okay.
Exactly.
We'll
the boom.
Now that we're towards the end, we can go through that. So when I first started, I didn't put too much emphasis on it. I did it because I didn't know anything about YouTube. Like, I didn't know YouTube was a thing. So I was like, this is an easier way to explain fitness stuff than doing an Instagram caption.
Right.
So I would make info videos. They did pretty well, but I didn't put too much emphasis on my YouTube channel. And then I started meeting more people in the fitness industry who were YouTubers. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. There was one person that I met who's like kind of famous on YouTube, and he's had like viral videos on Facebook. And I met his girlfriend, and we became friends. And then I met him. I was like, you have this whole life because of your YouTube. I had no idea. I was like, this is a thing people do. So I decided to put more emphasis on it. I had sponsorships and I did fitness coaching. So I had a lot of like free time, I suppose, during the day to make videos. That was the only thing I did. I was prepping for bikini competitions, super on trend at the time. People were doing them more often. So I went through a whole entire prep series. So doing a series, which is a story, you know, a series is super important. So if you have a story, if you have a process that you're going through that you're going to do start to finish, make a series, make a playlist, do something that's like a follow through story. So I did a playlist, a series for my YouTube channel, and it was called That Prep Life. And That Prep Life went from 6,000 subscribers to 100,000 subscribers in 4 months.
And oh my gosh.
During that time, of course, I was prepping for my show. So I was doing a fat loss phase. I was getting leaner. That's really interesting to watch. I was doing workouts. Right. I was doing posing. I was doing like vlog stuff. I did 5 videos a week. I was traveling, doing fitness workshops all over the country. I would collaborate with different people. I got on different people's YouTube channels. So because I was so consistent, and I was getting found through collaborations so often.
Yeah.
And I was in different areas. So I'd be in Chicago and like New England and then Florida. And I would like utilize the fact that there was different audiences in different places of the country that were kind of being able to find me because I was traveling and collaborating with people in different areas of
using
the country.
Using maybe the hashtags that they're using over
tags,
there, right?
Yeah. Different things like that. It all kind of just combined together. But I think the biggest thing was that I was consistently creating content 5 days a week. Not saying you have to do 5 days a week, but YouTube pushes out those videos for people who are doing them really consistently. Like, they will push your videos out way more often than someone who's doing two. So because I had that time period where I was really consistent, and then when people did come to my channel, they'd be like, oh my gosh, she's posted 6 videos this week. Like, I gotta subscribe.
Right.
She's obviously doing something.
Right.
I think that's what it really was.
Right.
Was,
oh my gosh, I love that. That's such a wealth of information there. Thank you so much for sharing that. We love that kind of stuff here, and that's what Skinny on Beauty is all about. Thank you so much for coming on. Make sure you check her out on AmandaBucci.com for all the fitness freebies. Go check out her series on YouTube, of course, and subscribe. Hit that subscriber button. Before we sign off, I do end all my shows with an inspirational quote, something that you hold dear to your heart or you've held yourself accountable to as an entrepreneur at one time or another. Did you want to share your quote with us?
I would love to. One of my favorite quotes is Marianne Williamson, "Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate, it's that we're powerful beyond measure." And I love taking that with me throughout everything that I do, because it's terrifying to us that we're actually going to succeed. And that's what holds us back a lot of the time. And we don't realize it because we make the excuses that we're not going to. But it's even more terrifying what will happen if we do, because when you do become successful, there's this fear of isolation and fear of becoming looked at in a different way by your peers who are on the same level as you. And for me, it's always been a fear. And as I've progressed throughout life, it's something I have to keep near and dear to my heart, because it is important for you to feel proud of what you're doing, and it is important for you to feel empowered. Yes. And that's what I like to take with me, and the people that I like to surround myself by, and the message that I like to send.
Yes, and she actually has on Bucci Radio, she has something about her tips on self-love.
Yeah, go check that out.
And that's definitely something that she likes to promote. And I agree with that quote. I love it, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for, you know, coming and listening to us and being part of the Skinny on Beauty and Unite Socially community. Next podcast will be coming out pretty soon. Until next time, stay beautiful, Orange County.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You've been listening to Skinny on Beauty, where beauty and art collide, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.